Our oldest son, Aiden, is now 21, and he's going to be married this fall, but maybe it's this time in his life, as he's becoming an adult, I've been thinking back to the first few days and weeks of his life. Like any new parents, we're so excited, waiting for this birth. We had read all of the books, we had attended all the prenatal classes, we had all of the baby stuff ready to go, and then the big day came and we were off to the races. And life got crazy hectic. At that time, we were moving from Minnesota back to South Dakota, trying to find a place to live and a new job for Verge. My best friend's wedding was taking place 1 week after Aiden was born down in Nebraska. And so in the midst of having a newborn in our life, we had to pack and get our things ready for the move, plan this trip, all the while trying to adjust to life with a newborn. And it was one day, a couple of weeks after Aiden was born, Virgil was in Watertown staying with his folks doing some job hunting, and I had stayed back in Minneapolis with the baby to try to keep packing. And this particular day, Aiden was just remarkably crabby. He had been fed, he had been burped, he had been rocked, he had been changed. You name it, I had done it, and he was still crying. And it was at that moment that it all hit me. Our whole lives had been turned upside down. We had this new little tiny human that we were supposed to be able to take care of and provide for. But you know what? He didn't come with an instruction manual. My mom was about 5 hours away down in Omaha. My mother-in-law was in South Dakota. My husband was gone, and here I was alone with this little baby, and I had no idea what I was supposed to do. And I froze in a moment of pure, unadulterated panic. I had no clue what I should do. And I thought to myself, I am just not equipped for this. I don't know what I'm supposed to do to make him happy. I don't know how we're supposed to provide for him. Our lease is about to run out on our apartment. We don't have a place to live in South Dakota. We don't have jobs. I can't go back to work until we find daycare and a job for me. And oh my gosh, what are we doing? I was so completely paralyzed with fear that I could not see what we were supposed to do next. At that moment, I had no vision for what our future was going to be like. I was too overwhelmed with panic. All I could do was sit there and cry right along with the baby. In the middle of this half-packed living room, he was in his car seat, and I was sitting in front of him, and we both just bawled for about an hour. Moments of transition can be incredibly scary. The times in which our lives take a dramatic shift can leave us feeling alone and panicky. And I can only imagine that that's a little bit of what the disciples were feeling as they stood on that hillside staring into the sky where Jesus had just left them in a really weird way. You know, I think about all that these men had experienced with Jesus over the 3 years that they had traveled with him. I think of all the stress, all the grief, all the joy, all the tension, the fear, the relief, all that they had experienced since they came to Jerusalem to a parade of palm branches and shouts of Hosanna. I think about how their understanding of the whole world had been stood on its ear in the 6 weeks since they had found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And now I think of them standing there, staring up into the air, wondering, well, now what do we do? There they stood in a moment of transition, right in the heart of change. And I'm willing to bet they couldn't see their way forward. They were frozen, just as so many of us are frozen when life throws a huge curveball at us. They felt unprepared for what lay ahead of them. And I'm willing to bet they were afraid, knowing all of this tension that has been around Jesus, around his teaching, his death, and now his resurrection. And I'm willing to bet that they felt lost without their friend, their teacher, and their leader. Unprepared, afraid, and lost. I know I've had those feelings. That's how I felt that day as I sat crying with Aiden. And I know that's how I felt when my mom passed away. And I'm willing to bet that you have had moments like that in your life. But Jesus had prepared them for that moment. Even if they didn't realize it right at that second, he had spent 3 years teaching the masses, yes, but he was teaching them specifically how to carry on his ministry when he was gone. They needed to see the love and the care that he exhibited so that they could also go out to love and care. They needed to learn when to be patient and when to press matters. They needed to learn to see those who society never saw in order to restore them to the fullness of community. Jesus had spent the time since Easter assuring them of the reality of his resurrection. He ate with them, drank with them. They touched him and talked with him. These men had watched him die. They needed to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was, in fact, alive. They would need to be strong in their convictions of this if they were to go out and preach that God had raised Jesus from the dead, that Jesus was and is the Messiah. There couldn't be any doubt in them about this fact if they were to share this momentous news effectively. Jesus taught them about the kingdom of God. The disciples, all Jews, had thought that the coming kingdom would be an earthly political one, that the Messiah would be a king like David had been a king. But Jesus continually tried to instill in them the notion that the kingdom is a spiritual reality, not a political one. We are subjects of the king in heaven and a part of the kingdom now. As soon as we subject our will to the will of God. And the disciples needed to learn this before they could live it and teach it as a way to live for others. But you know, Jesus was not leaving them alone. He had promised them the coming of the Holy Spirit to be a friend and a helper, to be with them and guide them as they continued this ministry. He had spoken of this to them previously, but again, just before he ascends, he reminds them, you will receive the power of when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And when that happens, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He lets them know they will not be alone, that they will be equipped by the power of the Spirit, and then he tells them what they are to do, to get out there and witness to the ends of the earth. And yet in that moment, all of that flew out of their heads as they stood there in confusion and watched Jesus drift away from them. I think we get the fact that all they could do was stare where they had last seen him. All of these teachings, all of these instructions seem lost as they stood there. And as I read this story again, it reminded me, a couple of years ago, I was getting ready to do a baccalaureate service, and I was talking to the seniors who were about to graduate, and one of the boys turned to me and he said, you know, I'm about to graduate, and it just hit me, I have no clue what I'm going to do with my life, and it's freaking me out. There he was on the threshold of his life, but things were changing, and he felt lost. And even though that threshold felt scary and intimidating, he was prepared. He's a bright kid who was more than ready to take that next step, and yet he felt scared and unprepared. We know those feelings, don't we? We've been there. we understand this moment in the disciples' journey because we have had moments like this too. But then comes the good news of this passage. As they stood there staring up into the sky, frozen in fear and in confusion, two men in white robes appeared. Now, by the way, in case you aren't a Bible nerd, the white robes signify that these two men were messengers from heaven. And these two asked the disciples, "Why are you just standing there staring into the sky? He's gone." "Do not fear. He's coming back sometime." Jesus is coming back. We aren't left alone. Until he gets here, we have the Holy Spirit. We have been taught how to be followers of Jesus. We have been taught how to love. We have been taught how to welcome the outsider. We have been taught the importance of community. We have been taught we are prepared. And we are not alone. And we have no reason to be lost because we have our directive to witness to God's amazing love in Jesus Christ here in Miller, in Hand County, in South Dakota, and to the ends of the earth. The disciples couldn't just stand there and do nothing, and neither can we. We are equipped. We have the power of the Spirit with us, and we have been told what it is that we are to do. So don't just stand there. Let's get to work. Amen.